Here on All Things Considered, Randy Cohen tries to keep us on a high plane. He writes the Ethicist column for the New York Times Magazine, and every other week he answers your letters to this program. He joins us now.
Hi, Andrea.
Our letter today comes from Mary Berry in Long Beach, California. She writes, "A friend who teaches at the local state university informed me that he had a letter written to him by a famous 20th century poet. 'You must destroy it,' I said, 'because I have just seen a published request by the literary executor that the poet ask that all such material should be destroyed upon his death.'" Mary Berry goes on to say, "My friend refused to destroy the letter, arguing what would happen to literature if such materials were destroyed. Many famous works would never have reached the public. But doesn't my friend have an ethical obligation to honor the poet's request and destroy the letter?" Randy Cohen, what do you think? Who takes ownership over this kind of thing?
The friend has no such obligation, not even remotely. This is an easy one for me, for a number of reasons. First of all, what we have here is a request, not an obligation. The famous 20th century poet, is it Auden? Oh, you don't. Freely sent the letter with no strings attached, that conditions cannot be imposed after the fact. But more important, I think your friend has a genuine duty to literature, which is to say to all of us, to ignore this request, and for exactly the reasons he stated. There are so many famous examples when poets made similar requests. I know Virgil wanted the Aeneid destroyed because it was unfinished. Kafka, I guess, is the most famous example, had requested that his papers be destroyed on his death. Both requests, which were, thank goodness, ignored. And I know that Jane Austen's sister destroyed a lot of her papers, which in my opinion is this horrible crime, and we should dig her up and kill her again. It's just a dreadful thing to do to literature. And by literature, I don't mean something abstract. I mean to those of us who cherish these works. In any case, the poet is completely beyond harm now, and your friend rightly ignored this. I would defer to the concerns of the living, though, and that's not unusual in scholarship or in history, where the publication of certain material might be delayed if it might do harm to a living person, if it might even embarrass a living person. I think being deferential to those concerns is compassionate, but destroying is so permanent.
Though I guess I can understand the sort of great empathy one would have for someone that we admire so much. Of course, we don't know who they are, but maybe we can bug Mary Berry herself. We have her on the line. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You don't want to tell us who the poet is, right?
No, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that.
Okay. That's understandable. What did you think of Randy's advice?
Well, I was disappointed in the sense that it was obviously so clear to him that my friend's professional obligations gave precedence over what I had thought was a personal obligation.
Well, I might feel differently if your friend had promised the poet, him or herself, "I will destroy your work." That would be ethically much more complicated. But I gather from your letter that your friend never made any such promise, that your friend received a request rather late in the day, and that's not binding.
So a request doesn't have the same obligation.
Oh, absolutely not. I request that you send me $20 right now, but I don't think you're going to. But if you'd promised me yesterday that you would send me $20 when you got on the radio, I believe that's NPR policy. I can extort bribes from the guests. I'm not sure. Then that would be binding.
Well, I think that the difficulty for me was, obviously, I personalized something. And, you know, my friend was looking professionally. And to me, I had done the wrong thing in the sense that I had personalized as if it were a friend asking you to do something like that.
Yeah, it's an understandable way to see it. And one sympathizes with the poet's request. But what if you saw it not just professionally, which sounds rather cold-hearted, but what if you broadened your definition of personal to include me in it as a reader of poetry and to include all people who love this poet's work? They have a personal interest. It's not just a narrow, cold-hearted duty to professional ethics. It's a genuine affection for literature that motivates your friend.
Have you been swayed at all by what Randy said, or what do you think you'll do now?
I believe that he represents the majority view. And I agree, obviously, that certain things would never have reached the public. But I suppose, emotionally, I was looking at this as a personal thing. So I think somewhere I have to put together the personal and the professional, that there obviously is a middle ground. But I was left with the ironical thought that my friend, you know, what will be in my friend's will? Would he expect, if he left such a request, that it be honored? Which, of course, is something we all have to ask ourselves.
I'd also make another distinction between private lives and public lives. The works of the great occupy a different status now, that this 20th century poet has deliberately sought to make him or herself a public figure and has become a public figure. So what happens, the way we think about the literary remains is very different. If your friend has led a modest private life, there's a greater claim for privacy.
Well, maybe we haven't totally cleared this up, Randy, but maybe we...
Oh, we cleared it up to my satisfaction. It's always shocking when what persuades me doesn't persuade all our listeners, let alone those who've asked the questions. But if only I were a little more articulate. Darn.
Well, I am persuaded, Randy. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, well, I like... if I could disappoint the caller, I'm always satisfied.
Well, if you want to be disappointed by the ethicist or you want to read him your poetry, drop us a line at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line and please include a phone number where we can reach you. Submissions in verse are, of course, welcome. Randy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Mary Berry.
Thank you very much.